Hello, class. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor today. We're going to start off with a word of prayer as always, and afterwards we're going to get into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this school. We thank you right now, Lord God, for our apostle. I thank you, Lord God, and I trust that the students are getting everything that they need so that they could develop and grow and begin to work in areas of ministry, Lord God, with a spirit of excellence, Lord God, and that, Lord God, they know how to walk in the spirit of honor among those who they work with, Lord God, their pastors, Lord God, and other people, Lord God, that they, Lord God, show honor, grow honor, and that, Lord God, that they are honored because honor will produce honor. And Lord, as always, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up, because if he doesn't show up, Lord, I recognize I'll fall flat on my face. I'm completely and totally leaning on the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. In the next two class sessions, well, first off, and I think I made it last class session that those who didn't have a book and who was expecting one won't be getting one. And so I was kind of prompted just to go ahead and just really this class session just go straight from the book. That way I know I'm covering everything that's in the book. So we're going to be going from the book today. If you do have a book, I'm going to be starting around page 104. So that way if you want to follow along, you can. But we're going to be talking about the 10 ways to build honor. Bishop Tudor Bismarck in the book talks about 10 ways to build honor. And I'm going to just read all 10, and we're going to probably cover about 5 of them today. And then on our next class session, we'll cover the other 5. The first way to build honor is wisdom. Secondly, humility. Integrity and uprightness of heart is number 3. Service is number 4. Obedience and submission is number 5. Observance of protocol and the law, number 6. Number 7, giving will produce honor. Number 8, protecting your leader will produce honor. Number 9, understanding covering. And number 10, revelation knowledge will all produce honor. But we're going to start off with wisdom. And we're going to start off by reading Proverbs 4 and 7. It says in the book, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So when you embrace wisdom, it says wisdom will bring you to honor. And that's so important that we understand that you know, the number one way to walk in honor is to get wisdom. Pray and ask God to give you wisdom. Okay, I'm going to read some excerpt from the book. He says, regardless of your age, it is absolutely necessary that you pray for wisdom on a regular basis. There should be not a day go by in your life, especially if you are a leader, whether in government or an entrepreneur, with staff, a church leader, a father, a husband, or any other area of leadership. Your first commitment and commandment is to pray for wisdom, because wisdom will bring you to honor. And we just saw that in Proverbs 4 and 7. It says, if you exalt her, she will promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So we need to embrace wisdom. Give you another scripture. Proverbs 8:14 through 7. Proverbs 8:14 through 7. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree judgment. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. It says, those that seek me early shall find me. And here's the guarantee in Proverbs 8 and 18. It says, riches and honor are with me. And that's talking about, wisdom. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Wisdom will bring you to honor. to such a degree that people who you do not know will honor you. So when you walk in wisdom, even though you may not know a person, it'll bring you to honor because, how can I say this? When you walk in wisdom, you know how to go in properly, how to address people properly. People who are of higher rank spiritually than you are just higher academic, more academic achievement. You know, a doctor in a particular field, chosen field of study. And so you know how to address people properly. You know how to speak a word in season, and more importantly, how to be quiet when somebody is imparting something to you that you need to receive. And wisdom, as this author says, will bring you to honor when you embrace her. And that's so important that we understand that. Jesus was the epitome of wisdom. He honored the prostitute. He honored little children. He said in Mark 10 and 14, he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus could mix with those in the temple because he had the spirit of wisdom. Because he had that, he knew how to show honor. Jesus showed honor in such a remarkable way that he would not speak a word when Caiaphas spoke to him. He would not dishonor the office of the high priest. He did not dishonor Pontius Pilate. He did not dishonor the little boy's lunch. He would not dishonor Mary when she criticized him and said, "If you would have been here, my brother would have not died." He knew she was upset and mourning over the fact that her brother had just died. So Jesus didn't come, you know, and just make a situation worse, but he went about the matter of raising Lazarus from the dead. You know, wisdom will know how to speak and what to say in a given time. Wisdom will give you, as the scripture says, a word in season. It gives you it'll cause your speech to be seasoned with salt. And that's so important that we operate in wisdom. So wisdom is the first principle of building honor. In order to walk in wisdom, honor, you must build and ask God on a daily basis, as the author says, "Lord, I thank you for wisdom." I mean, Solomon asked for wisdom. You know, David would ask for wisdom. You know, if these men of God asked for wisdom, we need to ask God for wisdom to go about our daily lives and everything that we do. We need to, "Lord, I need your godly wisdom on how to do what I need to do and do it successfully." Amen. All right, let's move on. The second way to build honor is walking in humility. Humility, integrity, and uprightness of heart. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Let me read that again. The fear or the reverence of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. All right, let me give you a definition here of what it says humility is. Humility is the capacity of a person's soul to submit itself to the power of God. This is the sum total of humility. Your soul, your gift, your talent, as it is submitted to God. Now, I did, if you have your book, I did change a few words in there. The author says spirit, but one thing we learn from Apostle, our spirit is already and all the time in tune with God. It's our souls that need to line up properly with our spirits. So I stated that wisdom is the capacity of a person's soul, not spirit, to submit to the power of God. Your spirit already wants to submit to God because your spirit is alive. If you're born again and have the spirit of God on the living on the inside of you, your spirit is alive unto God. It wants to walk in the will of God. It wants to walk in honor. But It's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, you know, that needs to be conformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God and walk in it in wisdom. So humility is the capacity of a person's soul to submit itself to the power of God. It is the sum total of humility, your soul, your gift, your talent, as it is submitted to God. Amen? All right. I'm going to read some other excerpts from the book here. And we talked about some of these in earlier or previous classes, but we're gonna go over them again. We discussed how Miriam and Aaron attacked Moses and criticized him in his marriage to the Ethiopian woman. As we know, Moses married a black woman, and Aaron and Miriam had some things to say about it. So Miriam confronted Moses, you know, about his marriage to the Ethiopian woman. In their criticism, they dishonored the man Moses. Moses was God's apostolic leader for that time, for that day. And it is not our place to judge or to criticize, you know, or to talk bad, especially against the person God has placed under us. But we're to submit, to undergird, and to protect them. Okay? So let's move on. It says, in their criticism, they dishonored the man Moses. But look what God authorized Moses to put in scripture after Aaron and Miriam said that God doesn't speak by Moses alone. This is what is in Numbers 12 and 3. It says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Moses wrote that about himself in Numbers. The Holy Spirit insisted Moses put that verse in there so that his integrity was preserved. The spirit of humility is necessary to keep your integrity and your anointing intact. If you walk in any spirit other than humility, you give legitimacy to the individual that attacks you, and God cannot fight on your behalf. You see, when you are walking in humility, God came to Moses' rescue because Aaron and Miriam were attacking him and criticizing him because Moses being so meek, and what I said about meekness is not weakness. Meekness is somebody, going back to humility, the sum capacity of a person's soul submitted itself to the power of God. When you submit yourself to the power of God and you're asking God for wisdom on how to deal with a situation, you know, the Bible says to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So with wisdom coupled with humility, you'll be quick to hear. You hear something, but you're not going to just blurt out what is called a knee-jerk reaction. A lot of times people give a knee-jerk reaction by somebody will say something and it'll rub you the wrong way, and then the next words that come out of your mouth, you wish you could pull them back. Well, see, that's a person that's walking in ignorance and walking in stupidity or foolishness, because a fool will utter their mouth and they'll say, you know, I'm always leery about a person who's always got something to say and they're always running their mouth, you know. You'll never learn anything as long as you're speaking. But when you listen to other people, you get different ideas, different viewpoints. And depending on who that person is, if they're a godly individual, you can learn some principles, some things from them that'll help impact and improve your life. And wisdom and humility, like going back with Moses, says, now Moses was the very meek above all the men that was on the face of the earth. And like I said, the Spirit of the Lord had Moses to put that in there because now God is able to fight his battles because of his humility or his meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. Because what happens is you exchange your weaknesses, your inabilities and insufficiencies for God's ability. You know, Moses says, Lord, I can't even speak. You know, but God had an answer for that. He says, Aaron, he's going to be your mouthpiece. You just do what I tell you to do. And I tell people, humility is simply obeying God, humbly obeying what God tells you to do. And when you do that, then now you exchange your weakness and your inability for God's strength. Let me move on. But the number two way of building honor is walking in godly humility. Amen. All right. Walking in integrity and being upright in conduct. That's number three. And this is a verse of scripture that we're going to use as a reference for that. Proverbs 26 and 1. In Proverbs 26 and 1, it says, as the snow in winter, as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. The third way to build honor is by walking in the spirit of integrity, being upright in conduct. Foolishness and honor do not go together. I'm going to read that again. Foolishness and honor do not go together. You know, a fool will utter his mouth, but a person who's walking in honor, walking in humility and the wisdom of God, they're going to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But when they do speak, their words are going to be seasoned with salt, and it's going to be a word of exaltation, and it's going to either defuse a bad situation, or it's going to uplift somebody who might be hurting, and God will give you the words to say. But that all comes from you operating in wisdom, humility, and knowing how to walk in honor. So let's move on. Foolishness and honor do not go together. The word foolishness here has to do with one's inability to walk in the spirit of integrity. Wise individuals know how to conduct themselves. Everywhere you go, you conduct yourself uprightly. You must be a man and a woman of integrity. You have to be a man and a woman of your word, integrity, uprightness, moral conduct, living right before God. These are just sound biblical principles that every Christian in their lives needs to be part of who you are. You know, person of your word, uprightness, moral conduct, you know, those things are just intangible if you want honor to be bestowed upon you. Good conduct is shown in the way you handle your money, and even in the way we raise money. Manipulation does not breed honor. You don't want to manipulate people for money. One of the things Apostle would always say, he says, he never pulls on people for money. Money cometh. God gave him the revelation of money cometh. I was at the first meeting some 20 plus years ago when he ministered on the subject of money cometh in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I physically saw people for the first time in my life begin to bring money to the altar. Matter of fact, I was actually taking pictures at that time, and I was blown away. The next day, Apostle was going into the sanctuary that Wednesday morning or so, and I just happened to meet him down the corridor going into the Tulsa Convention Center. And I looked at him and I said, Pastor, I said, the ministry will never be the same ever again. You know, Word of Life just got introduced to the world. And here's wisdom. He didn't even address that. God was dealing with him on a different level, on something else. And he shared something with me that was a word of wisdom. And it actually came to pass, how God was going to hook him and another minister together, and that was going to be actually a grooming period for him, but also to answering my question about how Word of Life it just got introduced to the world. This was an avenue where God was going to get him exposure. Well, now he's on TV, which at that time we were not on TV. But you know, I can go over so many stories of times with Apostle and watching him minister and watching the ministry grow, but that all came because of uprightness, integrity, and uprightness of heart. Let's move on. All right. Serving, obedience, submission, observing protocols, and giving. All of these are areas and ways of producing honor. Proverbs 27 and 17 through 18. I'm going to read that. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Serving produces honor. Okay, now this is the next area we're getting into. Elisha served Elijah and reaped the seeds of honor. Joshua served Moses and received the benefits of honor. David served Saul and got the benefits of honor was produced by his service. I can't speak enough about serving. A lot of times people, they want to be elevated, but they don't know what it has taken to get there. And when you serve, and when you are there and helping, undergirding a ministry, undergirding your pastor, you see behind the, you know, I almost want to say see behind the curtain. You see things that other people don't get an opportunity to see. You see the commitment. You see the love. You see the humility that a man of God demonstrates. And those are the intangibles that's so very important. And through serving, you get firsthand where you see things. There are people who serve Apostle at his house. This was definitely before COVID. But they had an opportunity to see his family, how he conducts his life around his family, around meals, and how they all get together on Sunday and eat and share, and how he imparts. You know, whenever I'm at a function and he's there, I like to be quiet and just listen, because there's always wisdom. But when you serve, and because you serve, you get benefits where you can get nuggets that otherwise, just going to church or just going to church and going through routine, you won't get the extras. Amen. The scripture says, iron sharpens iron. Compatible metals complement each other when they work and function together. It creates a sense of balance. So if you are a stronger metal or to a lesser metal, you have to understand the way these function so that you don't destroy someone that is of a lesser gift. You know, iron, you got different types of iron. You got iron ore, you got stainless steel, you got a lot of different types of iron. And so a stronger iron can sharpen a less stronger iron. So iron will sharpen iron, but there's a way that it has to be done. When you have a gift and an anointing on your life, you want to now be able to impart into somebody else so that you don't, number one, destroy them or make them feel belittled, but you build them up, you know, and you strengthen them. And that's what this is about. When you serve, you know, it's so very important that in your service you recognize that you're being sharpened. You're seeing things and you being exposed to things that through your service will cause you to be better skilled and craft in the things that God has entrusted you with. He also references an individual that keeps the fig tree. Listen to this. If you understand what produces fruit in your life and you protect the fruit-bearing agencies of your life by honoring them, you will reap the benefits of what you have nurtured. You know, so when you're serving somebody, you're actually nurturing them. You're actually waiting upon them. The word service, I like the scripture that says that they that wait upon the Lord, you know, they shall mount up with wings. You know, that waiting doesn't mean just staying there, but it has a connotation of a waiter waiting at a restaurant. And they are constantly coming, checking your water, filling up your water, filling up your tea. If you need another napkin, is everything okay? And you see, when you, the Bible says, when you wait upon the Lord, or when you serve, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. You know, when a person serves me properly, I make sure I give them a good tip, because I appreciate the service. You know, nothing you do for God will go without him repaying you. And I remember this old Baptist hymn that says, no matter how hard you give, you can never outgive God. You know, the more you give, the more he'll give to you. So when you serve, and you're giving to God when you serve your man of God, when you serve your pastor, when you serve the person that God has placed you under. And let me move on, because my time is well spent. Most of all, if you will serve somebody, if you will serve your apostle, your father, your apostolic gift, if you will serve in the areas of ministry, then the Bible says you shall be honored. Amen. All right, we're going to move on. The next area is obedience and submission. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter are ye? As long as ye do well and are not afraid of any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as bearing heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The author says, In her obedience, Sarah honored Abraham. Likewise, husbands, honor your wives. Build honor through submission and obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul offered the sacrifice, and Samuel said unto him, obedience is better than sacrifice. You have sacrifice and you have obedience, and then you have submission. So you have obedience, you have sacrifice, but then he says you have submission. He says obedience is better than sacrifice, but listen up. But submission is better than obedience. Sarah obeyed, but she also submitted. Mary said to the servant in John 2 and 5, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Submission. Because even in sacrifice, there's an element of self involved. You know, you could even obey and do something, but in your heart you may not be submitted. But when a person is completely and totally submitted, submission is a heart thing. You know, when you submit because you want to submit, and it's of the heart. So you know, you have obedience and you have sacrifice and you have obedience. You know, but you also have submission, and submission is better. I always use the illustration, when you submit, the word sub meaning under, like a submarine, you fall under the mission, like a submarine or submission, you fall under the mission or the vision of someone else by submitting to their vision, and their vision actually becomes your vision, because you become one. And that's why it's so important to have a good covering. Amen. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. All right. He says also, Mary says, whatever he tells to you, do it. Because submission becomes, listen up, the breeding ground for the miraculous. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles take place. So it's very important that we submit. All right, we're going to move on to observing protocols of the law. And we're going to be coming from 1 Peter 2 and 17. It says, honor all men, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. 1 Peter 2, 17. The sixth way to build honor is by observing protocol of the law. Honor all men. This means you have to understand where and how the gifts of men are placed in society, in government, and especially in the world of ministry. when you know where men's gifts are, we show honor to those gifts. This is observing protocol. And I always say, when you go into an area or when you're in a situation, you always want to know who has rank, who's in charge, who's the pastor. Whenever I'm given an assignment to go to a church and represent our pastor, my pastor, apostle, a member may have a loved one who died. And even this is a way of protecting his anointing, which we're going to cover in a little bit if I have time. But when I go, I always ask, for the pastor and let him know that I'm there representing apostle. And so proper protocol is submitting to those who are in authority, and recognizing the gifts in those men and submitting to those gifts. That's so very important. Then he says, honor the king. This is honoring the laws of the land. When you begin to honor and show protocol, the scripture says honor will be given to you. I remember one time I did go to a funeral call, and I spoke to the pastor, and I told him I was there on behalf of apostle, and I was here on behalf of the church members who had lost their loved ones. He immediately escorted me on the pulpit, and after the song was sung and the processional, he looked over at me and says, "I want you to get up on the podium and open up the service with a prayer." And I was humble, but because I honored him, he honored me. Honor will produce honor. All right, so let me move on. Then it says, honor the king. Like I said, when you honor the king, you're honoring the laws of the land, and that will produce honor in your life. All right, let me move on. All right, we're going to talk about now covering. And a covering is so important. It says, now this is the scripture we're going to read, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 23 through 25. It says, her husband is known in the gates when she sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her covering. Build honor by understanding covering. Whoever covers you will develop strength and honor for the clothes, because clothing speaks of covering. You will need to know who covers you and why. That's so very important to know, that you're under a covering. This house is a covering for me and my family. House is in my name. My wife is here. When my kids were here, it served as a covering. And it's so very important that people know from a spiritual point of view who their covering is. Let me give you an example. There have been times when I've traveled and went to various churches where apostle was speaking, and I never get this one time. We were in the elevator. We were in Tulsa, matter of fact, and they looked at me, and someone asked me, who I was and what church I was a member of and who my pastor was. And I said, I'm a member of Word of Life Christian Center under the pastorate of Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr. And they said, wow. And then they began to say, you have no idea how blessed you are, how so many people look up to your pastor. And that was probably one of the first times, because this was probably one of the first times I traveled outside of Word of Life from going to a camp meeting or some meeting the apostle was at. And I began to see the respect and the honor that my man of God had among his peers and other people in Christian circles. And it really caused me to now look at in a deeper and more clear understanding of the covering that was over me, because I was under apostle. So that's so very important that you understand and recognize the covering that you are under and the apostolic grace that's upon your life. Because as I stated last week and stated in other classes, the anointing always flows down. And when you're positioned properly, that anointing will flow down into your life. But you got to understand, you know, that you're under an apostolic grace. In teaching this class, I understand I'm under an apostolic grace, an apostolic anointing, because of my connection. You know, now we didn't get into it, but another area that produces honor is sowing. Because I sow into the anointing, you know, I have a legal right to tap into that anointing, because I'm an integral part of Word of Life Christian Center, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, and I have a right to everything that's at my apostle's disposal is at my disposal. Give you another good illustration. Because we're born again and we have asked Jesus into our life, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's our covering. The Bible talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Because we are Christians, we have a right to put on the whole armor of God, which is a covering. You know, having the shield of faith, having the breastplate of righteousness, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, you know, which is the Word of God. Having all of these weapons at our disposal, which is a covering that God has given us, you know, so that we can go out and do battle spiritually, you know, knowing who God has placed you under. Let me just read this. Because honor by building honor by understanding covering. Whoever covers you will develop strength and honor for your clothing, because clothing speaks of covering. You need to know who is covering you and why. That's so very important. It is not enough just to know you have a covering. You need to know why. Strength and honor are her covering, the scripture says, are her clothing. In other words, individuals that do not know how they are covered do not develop honor. I develop honor because I recognize that I'm under an apostolic grace. So I can walk in honor because my man of God has honor, and that honor flows down, you know. Because you're connected through the School of Ministry, you're connected through Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, you're connected because you might be a part of LTMA, all of those avenues helps put a covering over you. And whatever that covering, whatever under that covering, prosperity, health, peace, joy, you know, all of those things belong to you and will help produce honor in your life because, you know, these are just all the blessings that come along with having a covering. And we'll see you next week, and we'll continue to discuss all the different avenues of how to build on.